see this number out this morning, and good to have some visiting with us. We appreciate so much your presence. Good to have Jim's grandchildren with us and some of their friends, and appreciate them coming our way and others visiting with us. We'd like to have a record of your visit. Good to see Rick Carroll's son and his wife and family. If you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you in our study. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. And upon your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we'll immerse you into Christ for the remission of sins. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the book of John in the first chapter, I want to read one verse to get the thought for our study, and that's located in verse 42. John chapter 1 and in verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone." After the reading of the text for our study, let your mind go with me for just a moment to another scripture. Go back in your mind to the book of Matthew in the 16th chapter and in verse 16, when Jesus looked at his disciples and asked the question, "Who do men say that I am?" That is an important question. And what a great question the Lord asked on that occasion, one that has often been used in sermons. However, what I would like to do at this time is ask another question, and that is the question, when we look at ourselves, who is the real man and who is the real woman? And we can ask that about Simon Peter in the book of John and the first chapter. And this question will bring to our mind the double vision the Lord has. Now, when you look in John chapter 1 and in verse 42, how many people do you see? How many Simons do you see? And you may say, "Well, preacher, there's only one mentioned." But my friend, if you only say one, you've missed it. There are three. And what I want to do is identify each of them. First of all, there was the Simon as his friend saw him. This is Simon Peter, who was often known to be very outspoken. He was always with an answer on his lips. He was very impulsive. He was the one who told the Lord, "I'll never leave you. I'll die for you, even if everyone else leaves you." He was the one that when Jesus was washing the feet, in John 13 of the disciples, he said, "You shall never wash my feet." And the Lord said, "If I do not wash your feet, I'll have no part of you." And he said, "Not just my feet, but my head and my hands also." And so you find a man who at this time was very impulsive. You'll find that in Matthew 26, beginning at verse 69, going through verse 75, that this was the Peter who denied the Lord not just one time, but three times. Even cursing, openly denying that he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then you can remember in John 18 and verse 10, this is the same Peter that pulled out a sword and cut off the high priest's servant Malchus's ear. And so when you look at this man, you might look at him through the eyes of his friends and how they saw him. They saw this man this particular way. Now the question is that the real Simon? But secondly, I want to bring to your mind, there was the Simon as he saw himself. We've already identified the Simon as his friend saw him, but look at how Simon probably saw himself. I can assure you one thing, he was not the same man to himself that others saw. He no doubt looked up on himself in favor. And how easy it might have been for Peter, as it is for all of us, to see the faults in others, but not see our own faults. In your Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you remember when Paul is writing to the church at Corinth in this second epistle, he makes a great statement. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, he said, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart, but we've renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now watch verse 4. Whose mind the god of this age, that's the devil, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now, I'll tell you, in the eyes of Peter, no doubt he saw a dedicated man to the Lord. One that might have a few faults, but not too many. So we've looked at Peter through the eyes of his friends, and we've looked at Peter through his own eyes, but now I want you to look and see Peter through the eyes of the Lord. And here is where we come to the double vision of the Lord in regard to this man. First of all, Jesus would have saw this man as he was. There's no question that the Lord could see Simon as he was. He saw the man who made many blunders. He saw the man that began to sink on the water in the book of Matthew in the 14th chapter. You remember when Jesus walked on water, it was Peter who said, "If it's you, Lord, command me to get out of the boat and I'll walk to you." And you remember that Jesus gave him permission and he walks on water. Then Peter, when the wind becomes boisterous, he becomes afraid and he begins to sink. And you remember that Jesus stretched forth his hand and saved him and asked the question, "Why did you doubt, O ye of little faith?" And then if you take your Bible, you remember in the book of Matthew and the 26th chapter, this is the same Peter that Jesus had commanded us to pray. He said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." But in verse 40, we find that Peter and James and John slept instead of praying. Then if you take your Bible in Matthew 26, notice again something else about this man, Peter. When you go back up to verse 33, Peter said, as we've already mentioned, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be able to stumble." And then Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, this night before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." And Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I'll never deny you." Have you ever thought that that Lord saw Peter for who he was? Have you ever thought that he saw the mistakes of Peter? He saw the blunders of Peter? He saw the arrogance of Peter? The boastfulness of Peter? He saw the things that Peter said he would do and yet would not do or did not do? And he saw all the blunders and sins of this man. But I want you to see what else the Lord saw. Not only did he see Peter for who he was, he saw Peter for who he could be. He saw Simon for who he could be. That's why he changed his name to Rock. He saw that he could become a great leader for the cause of Christ. And in Acts chapter 2, you remember it's Peter with the other 11 who stood up and preached the truth. It was Peter's sermon who was recorded. It was Peter who went to the Gentiles first in Acts 10 and converted the first Gentile to the cause of Christ. And here was Peter who stood, who even was rebuked and yet stood with the Lord. Here was a man who did not let failure ruin him. He became an elder in the house of our Lord, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And what a change. The unstable man becomes a rock. And I'll tell you, that's important, that the Lord did not only see what Peter was, he saw what Peter could become. His friends saw him one way, Peter saw himself another way, and the Lord saw him for what he was, but he also saw him for what he could become. You know that's also true of Saul, who is also known as Paul. There you have Paul the persecutor and Paul the preacher. You see the double vision of Christ. I want to take that, make application to our life, and the lesson is you. The first question I want to ask is, who is the real you? First of all, there's the person that other people see. There's the you that you may allow others to see, and there's the you that other people view. And I want to know, what do people see? I wonder if that's the real you. Is the person your friends and co-workers see, is that the real you? What about at work? Just what do they see in your life? Are you one that they despise to be around? Are you intolerable to live with? Or while you're in front of others, do you act another way? Just what kind of life do you live in front of others? Or are you somebody that is happy and joyful and somebody that lets their light shine? Are you somebody that gives God glory? Just exactly what do your friends see in you? That's a very important question. Parents, what do your children and neighbors see in you? What kind of example are we leaving our children? You know, we can come in front of others and act one way, but go home and not leave a good example for our spouse, not leave a good example for our children, and thus, my friend, we can eliminate doing good in the home life. But young men and young ladies, what do people see in you? Are you the real person they see? How do you act with them? Compare that to the way you act at home. Do you have a temper? Are you lazy? Just exactly what do people see? But the second question is the person that you see your real self? Now, I imagine that most of us are guilty of only trying to see our good. Is it not strange how we look to ourselves as to what others see? We may excuse our faults. We may say, I have faults, but that's not one. They go right out and sin, and we really think about other people's faults more than our own. How many times have we tried to justify our wrongs, and yet we look at somebody else doing the same thing and accuse them? But that brings up something else. Have you ever thought about how Christ sees? Two things to keep in mind. First of all, He sees us as we are. Do you recognize, my friend, there's not a sin you've ever committed that God has overlooked? God has seen every one of them. Nothing is hid from the eyes of our Lord. In Hebrews 4:13, it says, all things are open and naked to Him to whom we must give an account. God knows who we are. He knows who we are better than we know ourselves. But secondly, He sees what we can be. Have you ever thought about the blessing of the Lord seeing what we can become through His grace, through His gospel, and what we can do to become a child of God, and how we can change, and how we can be a light for good, and how we can be somebody that influences others for good, and that we can live a life that is not hypocritical, but one that gives glory to God? I remember some people that I've seen that I thought, they're not going to amount to nothing. That's how I view it. I've seen some that were addicted to drugs, though, that changed their lives, and they're now preaching the gospel. Some of them are elders in the house of God. I've seen individuals who were addicted to alcohol, and they changed their life where they are now children of God. My parents kept foster children for 30-something years. And I'll never forget what my mother said to me when some of them came in dirty and they came in without having anything. She said, son, don't see them how they are now. See what they can become. Isn't it good that when we look out at people that we kind of do what the Lord does? We see people where they are, but we need to see what they can become. And sometimes I'm fearful we overlook the second part. That people can change. That by the grace of God and by the word of God and by the love of God, people can change. And I'll tell you something, every one of us has made that commitment in our life. When we were buried with Christ, we rose to walk up in newness of life. We said, we're going to change. We're going to put to death the old way of life. We're going to become something new. A new creation, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. Created to do what? As he says in Ephesians 2, to do good works. I'm thankful that that somebody looked at Michael Richardson and saw what he was, a sinner. But they saw what he could become by the love of God and by obedience to his word, a Christian, a child of God. And so many times what happens, we see people where they are, but we don't see where they can become. God help us to see what others need in the gospel. If you're here and you're not a child of God, what you need is Jesus. He sees you for what